The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
John begins his Gospel with this prologue. A hymn to
the Word through whom all things were created. This Word became flesh and brought grace and truth to the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John, who came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him.
He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word comes to us in the flesh. It comes humbly in an unexpected way. We have a tendency to see Jesus Christ as the divine and ourselves as human. Jesus as saint and people as sinners. Yet the Son of God is the Son of Man and comes to us as a baby lying in a manger. What if that same baby in a manger showed up today in Yorktown? What if you found strangers, a young woman and her fiancé, sitting on some hay in your barn while their newly delivered baby lay in a food trough known as a manger? How would you respond? The Gospel of John reminds us that we are witnesses to God every day. Let us look together at verse 14, which states, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory."
The glory is of a Father's only Son, full of grace and
truth. Each day in the humblest of places, we see the face of God because Christ continues to live among us. Glory, grace, and truth, the pure joy of Christ's presence, clothe themselves in the flesh of this world. Even when we feel the least joyful, Christ comes to knock at the door. I remember when I first moved back to Central Texas
and was not sure how life would turn out there. I felt anxious and overwhelmed by all of the new people around me. And although they were gracious, I was not ready for change. I had ordered a takeout pizza and waited on the bench for it. A motley crew of a stressed-out mother in her pajamas, a little girl in a head-to-toe princess outfit with a wand, and two more children dressed for school, a boy and a girl, came in together. I was checking my email when, after about a minute, the princess with the magic wand came over. "Hi," she said. "Do you like mommy's shoes?" "Mommy is in her pajamas." I responded yes. The mother apologized, and I smiled back to say it was fine. The little boy came over and said, "Do you have children?" "No," I said. He replied with, "Mommy says that people who don't have children live alone with lots of cats." I held back laughter and the urge to correct him. God, and often neighbor, make sure that we are not alone. Kids say the darndest things. No matter how hard I tried to close the door on God's change for my life, I realized that God would keep knocking. In that moment, God was using children's persistence to create the unity of the church in a pizza place. As a new hospice chaplain, I am learning to cope with the fact that all of my patients have been diagnosed to die. Yet hospice is not a death sentence, because only God knows how long we have to live. So together I mourn with patients, families, and staff, but also seek out each glimmer of life that appears in our time together. Smiles, laughs, happy memories, and reconciliation with family, friends, and God. I see God's light in each of his children, who he brings joy to in the midst of sorrow, as we see in Jeremiah. The covenant he has made with us is alive. And this is because, as we read in Ephesians 1:5, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. And in verses 13 and 14, "In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory." That Holy Spirit which marks us gives us redemption as sinners and makes us into saints at the same time. The mark of the Holy Spirit pledges an inheritance for us as God's kingdom, not only in our resurrection, but here in our lives on earth. Grace and truth come from Christ. This is according to the good pleasure of God's will. This phrase, "the good pleasure of God's will," reminds me of a common phrase used by parents. And I imagine God saying it to us. "God, why did you send your son to earth for us?" "Because I am your father." "God, why did you choose to make us your children?" "Because I am your father." "God, why am I alone?" "You are never alone, because I am your father." As God's children, we will ask why repeatedly, and we feel that we need a reason. But the work has already been done for our salvation and to give us the joy of the baby Jesus in the midst of the sin and death of the world. As we look upon the signs of his shining light before us, let us have less doubt and why, and more joy and because. I have come to believe that witnessing to Christ's light among us is as easy as being grateful for what we have in our lives and giving thanks to God for those gifts, especially our neighbors and ourselves. Thank God that our eyes are open to see Christ's light poured out upon this world. I thank God for the gifts this community has blessed us all with, and the chance to see each of you again as you continue to witness to Christ's light in your lives. May Christ knock on our doors each day of our lives. May he wake us up to the reality of his light every day in each moment. Christ knocks on my door each day in hospice. Let me tell you a story I see often. One day there was a man who lay in bed alone. He had family in town, and they came to see him, and sometimes they lived with him. But he was the only one who lay in bed ill. Caregivers came and gently cared for him and his family. He was not used to most of them. He did not like to be changed and turned and given medicine, especially by people that he did not know. Then one day, a new caregiver arrived. He already had so many caregivers. She was not there to give him medicine, or turn him, or change him, or give him a bath. He did not know what she was there for. She introduced herself, and he yelled. He told her to go away, sometimes indiscernibly. He was sick and angry and bedbound. His independence was gone. He did not feel alive anymore. He wanted her to go away, but she kept coming back. Sometimes he heard her talking with his wife and family. More often, he heard the women who gently turned him, changed him, bathed him, and gave him medicine. No matter who he yelled at, they just kept coming back, and he could not get them to leave. He would yell louder each time to express his feelings, but he just could not get anyone to go away. Slowly, he started to warm up to them. He realized the caregivers were not there to make him feel ashamed. They were there to care for an adult man and give him the integrity that he deserved. So he would hold their hand when they gave him medicine. He would tell them where he hurt, and they would find ways to help him. This chaplain woman was not there to lecture him about the Bible or make him feel like a bad Christian. He had heard that before. She wanted to know what gave him meaning in his life. She wanted to know what he needed as he lay dying. He would yell at her and at all of them. But she saw through it. They all did. They would touch his hand gently, and they would understand. So he began to trust them, even as he yelled. They helped him to prepare his funeral plans so his wife would not have to make them alone. She called his pastor to bring him communion and talk with him. He talked about whatever he needed to and told stories of memories before this time. He told her about his understanding of Scripture and of God and what he learned in church and life. Suddenly, a mosaic of life and experience, a beautiful and unique creation of God, could no longer speak. He could no longer open his eyes up until the day that he died. As the chaplain sat with his family, she listened to them reflect on his life and miss him, but they also celebrated the eternal life to come. And so, in the blink of an eye, another life was gone, but we know that to God, all of them are alive. Each caregiver, each family member was a blessed witness to the light of God in that precious saint. Each time I encounter people in hospice, I say thank you for the light of Christ I have been able to witness and for all that I have learned as their student in my time with them. The moral of this story and the others that I have told is this: we must take risks and be persistent in mutual relationship as Christ was. That is when the light of Christ is discovered in the darkness, in that relationship with our neighbors. It is far more comfortable for us to see ourselves as sinners made of flesh and Christ as the divine light. That perspective allows us to witness to and worship Christ's light in church, but not to see the candles he has lit inside of each of us. Christ is the divine light, but he also became human and lived on the earth, in the flesh, just as we do. So let us witness to the holy light present in each of our lives as we peer upon the precious glow of the babe in the manger. Amen.